You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. We're talking about how to connect with strangers as many of us venture out to visit family and friends for the Thanksgiving holiday. Strangers can sometimes provide that comfort and compassion, kinship, more than we think. Scientists believe there may be even an ancient reason why humans enjoy interacting with strangers and that there are positive health effects. Do you prefer talking to strangers or people who you are close to? Why do you think that is? When was the last time you really talked with a stranger and made eye contact? What was that like? We're at 800-642-1234. Elizabeth Bernstein is a reporter for the Wall Street Journal. She writes the column called Bonds, which is about relationships. Elizabeth, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
So you were once on a plane recently to Boston, and there was quite a bit of turbulence. You turned to the seatmate next to you, the woman next to you, and asked for some help. What happened?
I did. I was on an extremely turbulent flight in a pretty big storm going into Boston, and we were warned, you know, an hour out, half an hour out, it was going to get bad, and so I was getting more and more anxious, and I don't like turbulence. I don't mind flying, but I hate when it gets bumpy. So I hadn't really spoken to the woman next to me, but she seemed quite pleasant, and all of a sudden, we just started to hit huge bumps, and I felt very, very worried and just, again, anxious. So I turned to her and I said, hey, would you mind talking to me for a few minutes? I'm really nervous. And she said, sure, my name's Sue. And from there, we just started talking.
What were those interactions like? Because I understand you also said, you know what, could I hold your hand?
Did. They were really nice. My thought when I turned to her, and I have thought about this in the past, and I did it once before, was I just need to distract myself. If this woman's pleasant, if we can just talk a little bit about why we're going to Boston, you know, what we were doing, we were coming from Miami, you know, if we could talk about our lives a little bit and connect, then I'll be distracted and I won't be so worried about every single little bump. Because honestly, we really do believe the plane's going to land fine. So I wanted to be distracted, and she said, sure, my name's Sue. And I said, hi, I'm Elizabeth. And then we hit another big bump, and I just blurted out, you know, I might need to hold your hand, too. I was very tired that day, and so I had lower resiliency, and I just wanted some comfort, I guess. So she said, sure, and she took my hand, and we started talking. And I wasn't surprised to learn. I said, what do? You're so nice. She said, oh, I'm a retired volleyball coach. I was a gym teacher in high school. And so, you know, I thought, like, wow, she must have been an excellent supportive coach. So we started talking about our lives, like, you know, our families, what we like to do. We found out we both sail. And it was a really nice conversation till we landed half an hour later.
It seems like you almost got lucky sitting next to her. Do you think everyone would have been as open as she was?
I think some people might have been annoyed, but this is what was interesting. We landed, and I mean, I can't stress this. This wasn't a little bit of bumps. It was a very turbulent flight. So when we landed, Sue was in the middle seat. I was on the window. The man next to her, a businessman in a suit and his briefcase next to Sue, said, you know, when we landed, he said, you know, I really enjoyed your conversation. I was listening in. And I was embarrassed. I thought, this man probably thinks I'm nuts. And so we said, wow, thank you. And he said, you know, I was so scared I wanted to hold Sue's hand. So you never know what people are thinking. They're thinking, I think they're thinking, you know, a connection is nice. So yes, some people might have said, I hate this, but many more people than you think might have also been comforted.
We're talking with Elizabeth Bernstein. She's a reporter for The Wall Street Journal, and she writes a column about relationships. We're exploring the research on how unfamiliar people can boost our moods and broaden our perspectives. When was the last time you struck up a conversation with a stranger? How did it go? And did it make you want to try it again? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to David now in Menasha. Hi, David.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm an over-the-road trucker. I've been a trucker for 43 years. I started very young, 64 right now. But I talk to strangers a lot just for the fact I'm in so many different places around the country. What you'll find I mean, almost 100% of the time, if someone, even I will go and do a quick stop for a coffee or something early in the morning, and you'll see someone there, I'll buy them a coffee or they'll buy my coffee. You just say, how's the weather, how's things going? And there's been times when the weather has been really bad. I've been snowed in on right on the interstate, stopped with people in their cars. I have food with me in the truck, so, I mean, I've got to be kind of self-contained. So I hand out water or whatever, start talking to people. You'll find out that people are a lot more friendlier than you might think. We got a lot more in common, and everyone has a mother and a father and a crazy uncle. Everybody does, you know, an overbearing mother, a distant father. I mean, you start talking to people, and you know, truckers, you know, I'm around strangers all the time, we share a lot in common. The whole country does, as a matter of fact. It might have our political differences here and there, but not even to that degree. But America is really a wonderful place. People are nice. They might seem cold walking in and out, but I've been New York to LA, Texas to up into Canada. I got to tell you something. The people I run into across this country are a lot nicer than what you see on the news.
Well, you know, David, thank you so much for those observations. Elizabeth, you know, David just crisscrosses the country and finds so many commonalities among us humans.
I think David's story is so wonderful. It's so perfect and better than I could probably say it. That, you know, everybody has a mother and a father and that crazy uncle, and we all are nicer. And the thing is, we do crave connections, especially when there's something going on, weather. So you're, you know, stuck on the side of the road and, you know, here comes David to offer some help. Like, how wonderful is that? So I think his experience and what I've experienced, the same thing, that is that people are more open. They do want to talk, and we do have things in common. And again, not to talk politics, but we're at a time in our country where finding that commonality is really important.
You talked with a psychologist who found in her research that people were happier on days when they had more interactions with acquaintances they didn't know well. How can interacting with strangers, what does the research say there?
So the research, and it's a body of research that shows this, our moves improve, we're happier when we talk to strangers or even acquaintances. Students enjoy class more when they interact with their classmates. What it's showing is that strangers can soothe us when no one else is around. You know, we might want our mom or our best friend, but, you know, they're not there. So, you know, someone is. You know, they help us get out of our heads. So it's a mood booster. If we're grumpy, I work at home and I work alone, long hours of writing. And so, you know, I can get tired and, you know, it can be a lonely job. If I run out to the grocery, run some errands and have some interaction with some stranger laughing about something, that really is a mood booster. Also, strangers can broaden our perspective. Back to what David's saying, like, you realize we have something in common. Hey, maybe I'll ask you about yourself. Maybe I'll learn something I didn't know. Basically, we're feeling connected to other people. And that's deep in our, like, DNA that we want to do that.
We're talking about what strangers can mean to our lives, what happens when we do strike up a conversation with someone new. Elizabeth Bernstein is with us for the hour. She's a Wall Street Journal reporter, and she's been writing about the boost that strangers give us. What are your tips for starting a conversation with people you don't know? Do you sometimes go out of your way to talk with a stranger? Where do you find those openings in our fast world? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute with the Wall Street Journal's Elizabeth Bernstein, and maybe hear your stranger story here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about interacting with strangers and what that means for our humanity, our society. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Ken. Thanks for being here. A study in recent years looked at the power of strangers. Nearly all study participants who spoke with at least one stranger for 5 days found those interactions to be pleasantly surprising. Two in five reported, hey, you know what? I might become friends with this person. So how did you meet the friends you have now? How did you muster up enough courage to talk with someone new? And how have they changed your life? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Elizabeth Bernstein from the Wall Street Journal stays with us for the hour. Let's go back to the phones now. Dan is joining us from Drummond. Hi, Dan.
Hello. Well, what I did was, with my life, I was 40 years a nursing home volunteer, and I did it because I loved talking with the older people. I don't know why, I've always been like that. And one of the special ones that I met, when our hometown Mellon got its nursing home, was a lady by the name of Hannah. Well, talking with her, I found out she grew up in the Dakotas. And at one time, when she was in her 20s, she turned out to be one of Lawrence Welk's first piano players on radio.
Oh, wow. So you really never know what you'll find when you talk with a stranger. And nursing home volunteers, Elizabeth, we need so many of those types of people who we can spend time with in places where, many don't have visitors.
Exactly. I think it's a wonderful thing for the nursing home, the people who live there, the older people. It can, a stranger can be a very powerful antidote to loneliness, coming in, sharing these stories, again, the connection. You could become friends, as I'm sure Dan had experienced. But that's a wonderful thing. But I think anybody also who's volunteered knows that you get a lot out of it as well. So you might be the person going to the nursing home, and yet, look how wonderful these stories are, and you feel seen and heard and have that human connection.
And it's not just nursing homes, especially in a hospital situation when you're waiting in a waiting room and it's a difficult time. What is that experience like?
It's a very difficult time. I have a personal experience that's pretty striking with this summer. My father had a number of serious health issues this summer, and one of them was a cardiac arrest in the hospital. Luckily, he was there at the time, and I was there, but no one else in my family was. So for 4 minutes, while they tried to revive my father in his room, I was in the hallway really distraught. And a number of strangers, nurses, other family members visiting their family person, you know, their loved one in the hospital came out, held my hands, prayed. They were right there. And at some point, I sort of, said out loud, but I'm all alone, meaning my sisters weren't there. My mother wasn't there. I thought I was losing my father. And someone said, no, we're all here. And I can't tell you, that will stay with me for the rest of my life.
And that's beautiful. Let's go to Amanda now in Stevens Point. Hi, Amanda.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. This past spring went to visit a friend who I actually met. We are from two different parts of the country. My friend lives in Seattle. We met at a camp thing where we just sort of like happened to run into each other and started talking. And, 11 years later, she's still one of my best friends in the whole world. And when I was coming back from having visited her, I was in an incredibly long TSA line and just sort of started chatting with the couple behind me, and it made that entire experience so much better. We were in that line for somewhere between an hour and a half, and we knew that they were going to California and I was going to Wisconsin, and I could conceivably, if I knew them for longer than that TSA line, I could be friends with them. But it was a connection with strangers that, that was just made it so much better, a situation that could have been really just terrible and annoying.
Yeah, making a situation more bearable. And for one moment in time, you're just having this moment to bond with someone. Elizabeth, these interactions can make difficult situations so much more bearable.
They completely can, because A, they distract us. Now we're not just annoyed about this line and why are we in it, but we're enjoying ourselves. We're getting to know somebody. We have, again, that sense of connection, but we also feel a little bit of control. Like, I've turned this around. Like, I'm look at me. I'm, you know, doing something positive here. You know, it's also really enjoyable to talk to strangers because they don't know anything about us. Like, they don't know our baggage. They don't know about crazy uncle, whoever. You know, they don't know if we're having a bad day at work or we fought with somebody in our family. We can show up as our best selves. Like, I'm just who I am in that just TSA line. I'm funny. I'm, you know, friendly. It can be a really powerful sort of readjustment to who we are, our best selves, who we want to be.
We're talking with Elizabeth Bernstein. She is a columnist for The Wall Street Journal, and she's been writing about the surprising boost we can get from interacting with strangers. Your stories, 800-642-1234. Keep them coming. Let's go to Jennifer now, joining us from Lake Mills. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, good morning.
What is your story with a stranger?
Well, growing up, my mother would talk to anybody. We'd go out to the store, and she would just start chatting with people, you know, that were waiting in line or, you know, looking at produce. And as a kid, it was embarrassing. And, you know, it's like, Mom, come on, you know, this is, stop it. And now I realize I do the same thing, and I realize I do it in the same manner that she did it. It always started out with a compliment. You know, I really like, you know, your haircut. Where do you get your haircut? Or that scarf is beautiful. And starting a conversation that way, because it goes back to a little kindness, goes a very, very long way.
Oh, I love that. So you find the opening in a compliment. Elizabeth, do you see that?
Exactly. I think that's such a wonderful opening. So it's, and again, it's something you share. So if I compliment you on your shoes, I liked them too. So now we both like your shoes. Obviously, you're wearing them, so you must have liked them to get them. So a compliment is such a wonderful way, because who wouldn't want to be complimented? And you don't know what kind of day that other person is having. Maybe they're crabby or tired, you know, running through their errands. And so here you give them a compliment, and suddenly they feel better, and then here's this connection. And you start to feel better. It seems so simple, but it's actually really powerful.
Well, let's look a little bit more into what's happening cognitively. Do the strangers we talk to need to be complete strangers, or can we squeeze some satisfaction out of speaking with people who we're loosely acquainted with?
You absolutely can. So the research is clear on this. They don't have to be complete strangers. You don't have to walk up to somebody you've never met before, you know, to somebody who looks the most unlike you. You can, it can be somebody you know from your community, from church, from school, you know, for your neighbor that you don't know well. It can be an acquaintance, a classmate. So it certainly doesn't have to be a complete stranger. The key is that you just sort of don't know them well. It's not, you know, you're not in your circle already.
And it's also might be a little bit more challenging for these acquaintances that you loosely know, because you have to make more of an effort. You know them a little bit, but then not so much as you can have, you know, some inside language with them, so to speak.
Exactly. And then this goes back to really interesting research that shows that when we talk to strangers and we talk to acquaintances, we live longer. And the researchers think this is because it is cognitively challenging. You know, you can't use that verbal shorthand and finish each other's sentences the way you do with your loved ones. So you have to work a little harder, and that keeps your brain stronger.
Let's go to Carrie now in Fort Atkinson. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, good morning. I guess that I have had many, many similar situations in that I find that people typically are very pleasant and very friendly and are quick to smile or nod or share a look or just hunch their shoulders if they can see that something's going wrong. I think we're all very common in sharing these experiences. But I guess I have the perspective that perhaps it's really just, it's our reaching out. It doesn't matter who the other party is, whether they're a stranger, whether they're a friend, whether they're totally somebody you've never seen before. I think it's our action of smiling, nodding, reaching out, making the gesture that it's we that are soothing ourselves, irrespective of what the response is on the other end. We can attribute it to stranger in that maybe we feel a sense of freedom, but I don't really think that that matters as much as just the action that we feel proud that we did something, that we extended ourselves. And I really think that we need to take ownership of feeling better. And it's not really the soothing is coming at us. I think we're sort of self-soothing by doing it.
Carrie, thank you so much for those observations and that action of self-soothing in making this effort to see the humanity in others. We're going outside of our comfort zone this hour to learn how to interact with strangers. And Wall Street Journal reporter Elizabeth Bernstein is our guide. She writes a column called Bonds, which is about relationships. Do you find comfort in a brief encounter with a stranger? What does it make you feel? Do you ever notice the stranger encounters happening all around you? What do you see? Your thoughts, your stories, they're welcome. 800-642-1234. We'll be back with Elizabeth Bernstein right after this news update here on the Ideas Network. Here with us on The Morning Show, I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're learning how talking with strangers can affect our happiness. And if you look closely, strangers talking with strangers, it happens all around us. I was at dinner last night and spotted one interaction right away, two tables over. An older woman approached a young woman who was wearing a t-shirt that said on the back, "In 1969," and the stranger was intrigued. She was reflecting on where she was in 1969, and I heard the word college. But then something happened. She touched the shoulder blade of the young woman to straighten out a wrinkle in the shirt to get a better view of it, of the wording on it. And I watched, and I waited, and the young woman put down her fork, and they talked a minute or two. And I thought, you know, that is stranger gold right there. Have you seen something like this? We're at 800-642-1234. Elizabeth Bernstein is a reporter with the Wall Street Journal, and she writes the Bonds column about relationships. Let's go back to the phones now. Rebecca is joining us from Miami. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What is your story?
So I'm a physician, and I work in a hospital as a hospitalist, and I have found that, you know, many of my patients I've never met before, and certainly their family members I've never met before, but I found that, you know, my interactions with my patients and their family members can help me with burnout. You know, it's been a very stressful job, and there's always a lot of things going on, but I always feel lifted when I have had an interaction, a positive interaction with a patient or a family member or a stranger in the hallway, if I'm just giving them directions or the nurses on my, you know, that I'm working with. So it's, all of those things have really kind of helped me keep moving forward in a career that can be very difficult. So yeah, that was what I wanted to share.
Thank you so much. All those little interactions helping relieve some of the tension, Elizabeth, that she feels as a hospitalist.
I think that's a perfect thing. And I have to say something about Rebecca. She didn't mention this, but Rebecca's my sister, which
oh my
is
goodness.
Why she's calling from Miami. But, I see her. She's a master at talking to strangers. And I see this, and she's making a very good point. We think of strangers as out in the world. We don't necessarily think of them as in our workplace, in our job. You know, the person who pours our coffee, our patient, our client, or, you know, our doctor, we don't think of that. And so they're right there. And these connections are so important. Don't you want to connect with these people, right?
Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for calling in with your story and for supporting your sister in this. Let's go to Kathy now in Madison. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I guess I'm the extreme opposite. I'm really shy. If I get in a group of more than two people, I hardly say anything. But I love talking to strangers. I do it all the time. Most everyone is very friendly, and I've had some excellent conversations on trips, on trains and planes, and I just find it very easy. And if I'm in a really good mood, I think it's great to compliment people. You see somebody walking down the street, and just to say, you know, what a nice smile, I love your coat, you know, your shoes, whatever, and people are more than happy to talk to you. I can remember when we went on a trip to Washington, D.C., my children were 2 and 4, and we got on the train. I was alone with him with a diaper bag and stroller, and got on, I think it's the monorail in Washington, D.C. Can't remember what they call it. And morning business train, it was packed. Get on, my oldest daughter had the booming voice and looked around and said, "Are these all bad guys, Mom?" No one's smiling. And everyone started laughing, and everyone started conversing in the train. Some people got up and gave me their seat, and she just kind of broke up the whole train.
Well, Kathy,
so
thank
I think
you.
It's great to talk to people.
Yeah,
you're
that
welcome.
Is such a lovely story. And Elizabeth, it reminds me that, you know, the kids out there, our children can be, you know, stranger magnets. They can talk like you wouldn't believe to people that they have no idea who they are.
They can just talk away because they aren't self-conscious yet. They're not censoring themselves. They're not worried about what other people think about them yet. So they're this perfect little magnet to make these connections. And that was a fantastic story.
And it's interesting that she would describe herself as a usually very shy person, and yet in these stranger interactions, she has no problem there.
Exactly.
How does that work?
Well, first of all, you know, Kathy doesn't sound as shy as she said, but I'm sure she is. I'm sure she does find these hard. And talking to a stranger one-on-one can certainly be a lot easier than, say, talking, as she said, into a group of people. So there's that. It's just one-on-one. You know, when you're sort of focused on that person, it doesn't seem so scary. So that's a big part of it. And then going back to this idea that they don't really know us, so they can't really judge us, right? So I'm just who I am right now.
Let's bring in Jason now, joining us from Dubuque. Hi, Jason.
Hello.
What's your story with strangers?
I got in the car and I turned on the radio and heard this story, and it reminded me of a YouTube channel that I recently just got completely hooked by. It's three guys from different corners of the world who met and became friends, and they started this YouTube channel. It's called Yes Theory, and they basically just try to push themselves out of their comfort zone and have experiences to grow. Meet strangers. They had one episode where they just met strangers on the street and invited them to go skydiving on a whim until they found someone who would go do it with them. But they go all over the world, and their motto is seek discomfort. And I just thought it fit perfectly, and I've been really hooked by them lately and their whole philosophy that they're trying to grow with their YouTube channel, and I thought it fit perfect with this conversation.
Have their experiences and their approach to living, has it rubbed off on you in any way?
I think it's starting to rub off on me. And it's, they had, their whole purpose is to have a whole movement. They have a Facebook group that they call the Yes Fam, where they invite people to simply start a conversation with a stranger and meet up and try something new. And there are Yes Fam groups literally all over the world who just make new friends and try new experiences because of their philosophy that they're trying to kind of put out into the world.
Oh, Jason, thank you so much for sharing this. Elizabeth, it sounds like this is also very much a movement.
I had not heard of that. It's a fascinating tip. I'm going to check this out immediately. But what a wonderful idea, because one thing we haven't spoken about is, you know, how do you make your friends? They were strangers once. So another simple idea, but in reaching out to a stranger, that Yes Fam is really creating connections, creating friendship, and then excitement, right? They're running off and having these adventures. It sounds wonderful.
We're talking with Elizabeth Bernstein. She's a columnist at the Wall Street Journal. We're looking at the beauty in these stranger interactions in the world around us. Has a stranger ever helped you through a tough time? What were the circumstances? Do you sometimes get out of your house and run errands for an excuse to talk with people? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Elizabeth, you wrote about this woman who decided to cheer herself up on her 48th birthday by writing 48 letters to 48 strangers in 48 hours. What went on there?
It's a lot of work. So she decided she was going to do this. And what happened is she found herself just opening up. She felt, again, it goes back to this idea that the caller who had the idea that, you know, sometimes it's just what we're doing. It doesn't necessarily mean how that other person reacts to us isn't necessarily the you know, main point of this. But she was reaching out. She was showing gratitude. She was trying to connect and cheer people up. And that had a powerful effect on her, even though she never really knew how those letters were received.
Did she have, yeah, so she really never knew the outcome, but for her, it was the action of doing this that helped her.
Exactly. It was the action of doing. It was deciding to be this kind of person in the world. I'm going to be supportive. I'm going to be open and friendly and care about other people. And that is super powerful when you decide to do that. When you decide to, if you're standing in an hour-long TSA line, you have a choice. You can be really grumpy and ruin your day, ruin this perfect, lovely trip you just came off of, or you can try to connect and enjoy that experience, make it a little better, make it something positive, and move on.
Well, let's bring in Teresa now in Eagle with thoughts on this. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. My dad was born in 1927, so he's a Depression era person. We were raised that you can learn so much from each other, and that being nice to someone doesn't cost you anything. It's free. And, you know, life is too short. We need to interact with each other and learn from one another. It just makes your whole health, everything better.
Do you think you were raised that way as you look at your own father?
Yeah, and my daughter is exactly the same way as I am. We have this saying in our family that we have the faith where strangers will come up and talk to us. It's almost like we give a vibe that, you know, we're willing to speak to people and learn from each other and be kind to one another.
Oh, that's really wonderful. Teresa, thank you so much for sharing that. And the notion also, sure, and the notion too, Elizabeth, kindness is free, as Teresa said.
So important. Kindness is free. We never even really think too much about being kind, right? But we should be. We can base everything on that. We can build better communities, a better country, a better world on that. And as Teresa said, it's free. Like, we can just keep repeating that idea, be kind. It doesn't cost you anything.
We're exploring the mood boost that comes with talking with complete strangers and where it may lead with Elizabeth Bernstein as our guide. She writes the Bonds column on relationships at the Wall Street Journal. How can even brief eye contact make a difference? Considering the real risks of loneliness, can strangers make a positive difference in our lives? Where have you felt the impact on your life? What moments between strangers have made you laugh, have made you cry, have made you think? Still time for you to share your story, 800-642-1234. You can email it to ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick this up with Elizabeth Bernstein in just a minute. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the value of strangers in our lives, moments of grace. It is the morning show. I'm Kedar Chirkent. Thanks for being here. I was on the bus recently, and I saw someone getting on who was having difficulty finding enough cash for the fare, holding up the line a bit as they scrounged in their bag, and the person behind them, split second, produced a dollar and said, "Here, allow me." There was a gracious thank you, and I watched the two strangers sit down together and exchange really warmly in conversation. It was a moment when I thought, you know what? We live on a beautiful planet. People are good at heart, and there's grace if we merely spot it and declare it. So have you seen moments like this, beauty among strangers? Share your story, 800-642-1234. You can tweet us, WPR Mornings. Wall Street Journal columnist Elizabeth Bernstein stays with us for the hour. Let's go back to the phones now. Beth is joining us from Waukesha. Hi, Beth.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Great conversation. And I just wanted to say that I was at Trader Joe's a couple weeks ago, and this lady, I was returning the cart, and she said, you know, I'll take your cart for you. And she said, you look like a clean person. And I said, well, I'm a nurse, and I'm all about clean and stuff. And she was just making a joke. But anyway, she ended up telling me about her husband's, she said, where do you work? And she said, oh, my husband was at that hospital, and he had this and that and the other thing done. And he had this horrible experience. And then he, well, he had a bunch of stuff go wrong. But then I said, is he still with us? And she said, oh, yeah, he's doing much better now. He had a really horrible year. But, well, anyway, it ended up being like a 10-minute conversation. And then we gave each other a hug at the end, and it was really beautiful.
Oh, wow, Beth. And that's really a lot for you to hear about something difficult from a complete stranger,
right,
and have them tell you tough things going on in their life. I mean, that's not something that you had to shoulder, but you did.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, yeah, what do you make of that experience?
Yeah, I think it's beautiful, and I think it obviously touched Beth as well as I'm sure the woman who was talking to her. But I also think we forget, it's hard, right? It can be hard to take on somebody's emotions, and so, but in doing that, we're giving that person a big gift. So that woman who's telling Beth about her husband who had this terrible health problems, these terrible problems, she's not doing that lightly. This is something that she's, I'm sure, been very, very worried about. In sharing, she's looking for comfort, and Beth's giving her a big gift in having that, you know, that conversation, and it sounds like got something out of it as well.
What are might be some good tips of engagement to make sure we're not being too overbearing or sharing too much, or maybe not at the right time?
So this is important. So we want to, you know, the whole point of this conversation is, you know, we're thinking about reaching out to strangers more and how important and helpful that can be to both people. But, you know, you want it to go well, and you don't want to talk too much. Like one of the major things is you want to make sure that you're both talking. You're not just going to, you know, start spewing at somebody everything you want to tell someone and then let them just sit there startled silently. So you want it to be a give and take, and make sure that you're listening as much as you're talking.
Let's bring in Artis now in Dousman. Hi, Artis.
Hi, good morning. My grandfather, he was just a really special person. He, after my grandmother died, he took a walk from their condo to the whatever local restaurant, and there was a guy standing out there with a sign, you know, like a homeless person, and he basically invited him in and bought him breakfast, and then, you know, took him around the corner, and they got like some non-perishables, you know, for him to keep with him. So that just, if someone asked me for a memory of my grandfather, that would be it.
Oh, wow. So your grandfather, and this was after your grandmother had passed, is that right?
Right. He did a lot of eating out because he had no idea how to cook.
Oh, and so he took in this homeless person for this one interaction. I wonder if they had any interactions after that.
Yeah, I don't know, but basically they ate breakfast together.
Artis, thank you so much. Elizabeth, you know, there are people who are on the streets who we pass by, and some people we just look at them as being invisible, and others stop and give.
That's just it. We see homeless people often as other, not like us, not people. And we forget they are people. They somehow, things happened in their life, didn't go as well as everybody would want, and here they are on the street. But thinking about them as people is a really important thing. Again, it makes us more human to make sure that we're not dehumanizing other people. And my guess is that Artis's grandfather, that wasn't the first time he did that. Maybe he didn't meet that man again, but he probably did reach out to more people. He had that in his heart, and I'm sure he felt less lonely and happier for doing that as well.
We live in such a digitally connected world, people holding onto their phones and looking at their screens. Do we know the impact of what our phones are having on these moments with strangers?
Well, we're not really connecting, right? If we're just staring at our screens, and we've all seen it probably on a bus, on a train, even you look over in a car, people are just looking at their phones, even when, you know, the law says they shouldn't be. So we're not looking at each other, and if we're not looking at each other, we're certainly not having any chance to interact and think of what's lost there. The flip side of that is we may be connecting with people online. So, you know, we might be staying in touch through Facebook or some other thing, or, you know, having some conversation with somebody we don't really know. So the flip side of that is that, you know, social media has an ability to connect us with many more strangers. Again, it goes back to this idea that we want to be kind there.
Let's bring in Kent now, joining us from Reedstown. Hi, Kent.
Oh, hi there. I canvass for political people, political candidates, and I find it very rewarding. People want to talk about politics a lot of times. Some people don't. But once you do it once, it's very easy to do it the next time.
Because you're going door to door and talking with people face to face as a canvasser. Is that right?
Yes.
What are some of those interactions when you knock at the door, ring the doorbell? How do people approach a stranger at their door?
Well, sometimes, you know, it's like anything, you know, people are hesitant, maybe. But then if you have a smile on your face, they open up to you. And it's very nice to know where people are coming from.
Ken, thank you so much for that. Elizabeth, you know, having a smile on your face, even when you're talking something about politics and divisive issues, a smile can be an opening.
A smile can be an opening. We almost naturally smile back. Like, think of a baby. If you smile at a baby, they smile back. That's a sort of an innate thing. And so right there, we've made that connection. And being open to hear what the other person wants to say, not just, you know, force-feeding our views, we can learn something and we can move that forward. We can move this idea that we do have things in common. I am quite sure that somebody with exactly my opposite politics and I have something in common. So the goal should be to find that.
How can we all be better strangers in our lives today? If there is a piece of advice you could give in our last moments?
I love the caller who said be kind. It just doesn't cost anything, because I think that is what we need as a society more of. So I think be kind, you know, be open. We can be better strangers by looking for that connection and looking to boost each other up.
Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Elizabeth Bernstein is a reporter for The Wall Street Journal, and she writes a column for The Wall Street Journal called Bonds, which is about relationships. And we've been talking about interactions with strangers and the boost that comes from it. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.